Thank you, Laura. And now stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel comes from Luke, the first chapter, starting with the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. This gospel reading from Luke is usually reserved for the Sunday right before Christmas. But as we consider this story at the beginning of Lent, it seems fitting. Mary hears the news of her expectancy, and her hope begins to grow. And so does ours. It is the first Sunday of Advent when we begin the process of waiting, and waiting, and waiting some more. While commercially, Christmas has already arrived, both online and in the stores, with Christmas music pumping through the radio waves, in this season, I invite you to take a few deep breaths and slowly, quietly, dip your toes into the calm waters that lie ahead. Advent is, after all, a season of waiting. It's a time to prepare for the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. Only sometimes it doesn't feel quite like God is, in fact, with us. There are times when our anxiety or our busyness, illness, or a lack in our lives seem to be filling our minds during every waking moment. We like to idealize this season with all its sparkle and anticipation. But the reality is, if we let it, it can be chaos. It can, instead of a season of calm, become frenzied, a frenzied season that spins far out of control. This Thanksgiving, my nephew Ryan, who's in college, and his friend camped outside the Mall of America waiting to purchase a TV for his college dorm room. And in the process of that adventure, he and his friend reported a theft to the police, were interviewed by a television crew, and made it back home in time, just in time for breakfast. All for the chance to have a giant TV in the dorm room. Have any of you experienced this? After spending hundreds of dollars on Christmas gifts, you realize that the child you bought the gift for has more fun playing with the box that it came in than the actual gift. Or when you put Christmas dinner in the oven only to realize 2 hours later you forgot to turn it on, and instead you end up eating leftovers and grilled cheese sandwiches, which the family prefers anyway. If we let it, Christmas can be a little bit like childbirth. It's joyful, but somehow if we don't remember the pain till it comes right around again. But if we're really honest, much of this really is under our own control. There are choices that we make every day. Some may not feel like choices, but they are. The choice whether to go all out to decorate the house for Christmas or to scale it back a little. The choice to overpurchase or overcommit, or to allow for silence, for quiet. The choice to focus on a want or a lack, or to focus instead on gratitude. The choice to go, 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 or to be still and know that God incarnate is growing in the darkness. But there's something else that makes it hard this time of year. We often hold the biblical cast of characters up to a superhuman standard that erases their humanity entirely. And in doing that, we erase our humanity too. In today's gospel from Luke, we hear the visitation of the angel to Mary, a young woman who is as surprised as we are to find that the Christ child would be soon born to a young, unmarried woman. Mary is shocked, in fact, by this news, as any young woman of 13 or 14 would be. She responds to the angel's announcement first with agitation. Mary is troubled by this news, and rightly so. In her culture at that time, to be unmarried and pregnant meant a swift and painful death at the hands of her own community. And yet, what comes next is actually the shocking thing. After Mary says to the angel, "How can this be?" and she hears more, Mary says yes. She says yes to the child, yes to an unknown future. She says yes to God. She says yes to the miracle growing inside of her. Why was Mary, a young, inexperienced woman, chosen to be mother of Jesus? I wonder if part of the reason is that Mary saw the world with a childlike wonder. With the angel's announcement before her, Mary was able to set aside her fear, to set it aside just enough to grasp God's spectacular invitation. So what if this Advent we borrowed a page out of Mary's playbook and learned how to say yes to God? What is God surprising you with this Advent? I almost said Lent. Oh boy. How is God surprising us as a people of God? The tricky thing is, for some of us, we've lived in a place for so long that is predictable and safe, that letting go of that control, that predictability, seems foreign, uncomfortable, even too vulnerable. Because saying yes to God requires you and me to let go and to let God. Sure, it's an easy thing we say all the time, right? Let go and let God. But it's quite another thing to actually do it. When Mary said yes to God, she said yes with her whole being. She gave her body to bear the Son of God, the Holy One, to grow inside of her. And that yes grew and grew. Sure, she was afraid. Mary was shocked. She was worried. She was frightened. But that did not prevent her from moving past the fear and getting to yes. So, what about you? What's God's invitation for you this Advent? What is it? If you're not sure, here's where to start. Look at the intersection of your fear and God's whispered invitation to new life. Look at your own life. Where are you exhausted or perplexed or ready to let go? Where in your life are you bursting with energy or creativity? And then look at the world around you. in the world, where is the world crying out for mercy? How are your neighbors or strangers or friends struggling this year? What do you see around you and then find that your heart is breaking open with sadness or anger or joy? How or where or what is God calling you to do and be? I can't answer that question for you. But if you look deep inside of you, if you allow yourself to be still long enough, you will hear it. That is where Jesus Emmanuel is growing, deep inside of you. As Mary's waistline expands this Advent, so too will the voice of the Holy One ring in your ears until the invitation, your invitation, becomes loud and clear. Remember, saying yes to God does not necessarily mean doing more, but it also it always involves being who you are and more. More courageous, more vulnerable, more willing to follow. Saying yes to God's invitation means that you can say yes with your whole being, with all that you are, with all of the strong parts of you, as well as those pieces that are broken or damaged or tired, those pieces that we don't allow anyone else to see. God comes to be with us in that messiness, in the jumbled up parts of our lives that we live. Lives that are imperfect, yes, but beautiful nonetheless. God comes to us in times like Mary's moment, when she is rattled, when she is afraid. Jesus grows in us when we are grasping too for what's next, trying to get a foothold on what is right and true and lovely and just. And God is there with us in those moments of decision, when we can choose to step forward in faith or to retreat into fear. It is in those moments when just to take a step forward means to say yes to God. A yes to God's invitation and a step toward Emmanuel. A nod of Jesus growing deep inside of you and a step toward that manger. A yes to the angel's proclamation and a step forward, one step at a time, in the direction of Jesus, in the direction of hope. This Advent, let's make those small steps forward, each one of us and all of us together. It really is that simple. That's all it takes, one step at a time. There is something growing in the darkness. Its name is hope. Its name is Jesus. Thanks be to God.